The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants." You ought to read that as slaves. It's the same word. "I call you friends." Who doesn't want to be a friend of Jesus? We are disciples of Jesus. We love Jesus. We want to be his friends. He declares us to be his friends. This is really great news. But you got to read the fine print. He says, "You are my friends if you love one another, if you do my command and love one another." And we can say, well, okay, in some vague way, we can do that. We know how to love each other, sorta, kinda. Okay, we're still in. Until he finally says, "Here is love, that you lay down your life for one another. By this you will know that you are my friends. If you keep my commandment and lay down your life for one another." Okay. Maybe we'll just be casual acquaintances. Especially in these days. One another, this, the body of Christ, which is divided. We can't agree whether we're going to wear masks or not wear masks. We can't agree about hardly anything. Everything has to be, you're going to dig in on this side, I'm going to dig on this side, and we're not going to talk to each other. We can hardly civilly talk to each other. Our culture is just brimming with this kind of animosity. And Jesus wants us to lay down our life for those people? And Jesus just quietly stands there going, yeah, that's it. You got it. You understand. Well, if Jesus is saying, "I will be your friends if and only if you lay down your life for your friends," then Lord, have mercy on all of us. We're just about, at that point, we're ready to say, "I think we'll just remain slaves. Thank you very much." Which is exactly what we choose to do often. Remain slaves. Slaves to our own self-righteousness, slaves to our own opinions, slaves to our own animosities and hostilities, slaves to our own desires. And we choose that often. And if the only way for us to be friends with Jesus is to choose something different, then we're going to have a hard time right now. This is a difficult time to choose something else. So what is Jesus saying? if and only if we lay down our life for one another, we will then be his friends? And isn't that a command that is just too hard for us and intimidating? Well, one of the problems with interpreting it that way, quite frankly, is that it's really goish. That means to say very definitely not Jewish. Like a ham and cheese sandwich, not Jewish. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord brings delight. The law of the Lord brings us life. That's what the Hebrew Bible insists on. We get a little nervous when people talk about laws and commands and all that stuff. Not so among the Hebrew Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, it's like, this is life. This is a gift. This is the gift that God has given us. And so the command to love one another can't be heard just as, oh my gosh, I've got to do this or else. No, not at all. It is a gift. And what's the context in which Jesus is handing over this gift? There's a couple of things going on. One, Jesus has just finished washing his disciples' feet, embodying the love for one another, humbly kneeling down and washing his disciples' feet. Serving them, they who will deny and betray and abandon him. This is love. And soon after, he's going to lay down his life for his friends, just as he says. That's what love does. And he will do that. It is a gift. And it is the gift that actually is the invitation into friendship with Christ. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. My joy is in you. How many of you think about Jesus and think, Jesus is overjoyed with me, delighted in me, can't get enough of me? Oh, okay, let's not make this a rhetorical question. Anybody think that? Yeah, John. we have one. Excellent.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, took it away. All right. Right. But what does Jesus say? That my joy may be in you. And that can mean that my joy fills you up so that you'll have it too. But it quite easily could also mean my joy is in you. You are my joy. And I want that joy to well up in you. I want that joy to fill you up so much there's nothing else left. My cup runneth over, the psalmist says. And I think it's that echo that we hear here, that it fill us up so that we really know that Jesus is overjoyed with us and delights in us and therefore gives us this lovely friendship, hands it over to us. We go from slaves in this passage to friends. Friends, people who are like on the same level, equals. That's ridiculous, you say. We can't be equals with Jesus any more than we can understand that Jesus takes delight in us. But there it is. We become friends of Jesus. And there's a million reasons why we are, no. Jesus is this and we're that. Jesus has this and we don't. Jesus can do this and we can't. Okay, great. But it's more like this. So every Monday, Virginia and I take our grandson Aaron, who's 4 years old, down to Chelan Falls Park. One Sunday, there were two families, African American families. They were going home from vacation, and they happened to be at the park playing on the same climbing equipment, slides, and all that. And Aaron found a 4 year old. So one of the kids was a 4 year old. They had three kids. One was 4 years old. His name also was Aaron. So we had little African American Aaron, 4 years old, and little pale white Aaron. 4 years old. So they're playing together, and they're just running up and down this play equipment, slide, all everywhere. So at one point in this time when we're together, the 7-year-old girl, I forget her name, I think her name was Ashley, she stands up at the very top of the equipment, and she says, "They're both named Aaron. They're both 4 years old. They both love slides. They're exactly the same." Those of us on the ground smiled and said, "Well, of course they're not exactly the same. Come on. There's a million ways in which they're not the same. Some very obvious ones and probably some not very obvious ones. So, you know, that's cute. But, yeah, you know, take it with a grain of salt." Well, except for this. I believe that that little girl standing on the top of the play equipment was speaking the words of God. God is there saying, "Jesus and Colleen, they're both the same. Jesus and Kathy, they're both the same. Jesus and everyone, you're the same. You're friends." As unbelievable as that is to comprehend, I want us to receive this. This is the truth. This is what Jesus is saying in these passages. No longer slaves to our hostilities, no longer slaves to our desires, no longer slaves to our self-righteousness, no longer slaves, friends, equals, hanging out together, abiding together, graciously abiding together. That's what abiding means. It means hanging out, pitching a tent together, going camping together, hanging out. Doing it in this divine friendship, which is the gift that Jesus is giving in the command to love one another in this way, to give your life to them. So, and if we, each of us, are just the same as Jesus, then the invitation of this command to love one another is to realize, not only am I just the same, a friend of Jesus, but they are a friend of Jesus, and they are a friend of Jesus, and how come they're standing over there against each other, and Jesus is standing right in the middle saying, "You are my friend, you are my friend," and we no longer are slaves to that. We are friends of Jesus. So, since we are friends of Jesus, Jesus must be giving us a way to abide in that, or to obey that commandment. To give ourselves away. So, I have one suggestion, and that is this. Put away your life. Just put it on the side. Your life. Your opinions, your hostilities, your judgments, your blaming, your shaming, all of that stuff. Put it aside. And find somebody with whom you do not agree. Whom you just don't agree. And sit down with them. And putting all of that aside, prayerfully listen to them. Not to see where the flaw in their argument is. Not to say, "Oh, they're on that side of the political spectrum." Thank you. None of that. And nor to defend your own stuff. Because you've put it away. But to listen deeply and prayerfully. A first step in giving your life for another. is to allow them to speak their truth, to listen and receive it. And Lord knows, we may hear things we haven't heard yet. Deep pain, deep sadness, deep lamentation, because everybody is feeling the same stuff. And the only way we can figure out, the only way we can actually take that in, is if we stop defending ourselves. Put it aside. You don't have to change your mind. You don't have to agree with anything. You have to listen prayerfully. That's how we give our life away. In a time of animosity and division. We are friends of Jesus. Remember that when you're sitting across from somebody who doesn't agree with you. We are both friends of Jesus. We're both the same. Now, love one another deeply by hearing each other. You did not sign up for this work. Jesus tells us point blank, you did not choose me. I chose you. This is more of that fine print stuff. And you kind of go, ah, oh, that's right. That's right. He chose us to be the ambassadors of love, of joy, of grace. And so, dear friends, friends of Jesus, that is the commandment, the perfect, life-giving, delightful commandment that we receive this morning. Thanks be to God. Amen.